The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Vaulting with you guys here on Overtime, coming up in about 60 minutes. We're going to get a grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock, but Browns obviously in a bit of a lull, but still things circulating around the NFL and around the team. And to help us out with all of it, we head out to the Weishart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright Hotline. You know him from the Akron Beacon Journal, our good friend Chris Easterling joining us now. Chris, how's the offseason treating you?
Not too bad. Jake, how's yours?
It's all right. We're surviving. It's LeBron watch time, and we're all just sitting by waiting and creating conversation. So I would say surviving is probably about where we're at, but we're okay. It's not bad.
At least you have something to talk about. I mean, true. You know, guessing which golf course LeBron's playing at today. I mean, analyzing the foliage in the background of the videos. I mean, yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah, we had some detectives on this. We got a lot of work. We can really break this down. Other people on the internet do it for us, and it's great. I don't want to have to do any of that work, but obviously, Chris, it's an interesting time still. Like, we don't have a lot going on surrounding the Browns, but it still feels like between a lot of the things getting released by the NFL, we're getting, you know, people jumping on podcasts. And specifically, if we talk quarterback, we have reports about Deshaun Watson insurance money. It started at $88 million. Reports have now whittled it down to about $25 million. At the end of the day, do you think any sort of insurance relief makes you feel any better about the situation that the Browns are in with Deshaun?
No. It's a disaster. It's been a disaster. I think I've said it before. The only way this five-year deal, you get any salvation from it is if he goes out there and somehow channels his inner 2020 version and somehow this team not just wins the division, but AFC championship game. It has to be one of those seasons. Otherwise, it's the worst trade in NFL history. It just is. I mean, that's sort of why this whole thing has been sort of weird. I mean, I guess I understand it from a certain perspective, but at the same time, I don't understand it. I mean, you got to figure out what you have in Shador, and before you go into the 27 draft, which maybe this is the year that they finally get it right, that it really is a deep quarterback class. I think we're due one. So, you can't tell me that Deshaun Watson is your quarterback of the future, because even if he goes out and plays well this year, was it just a blip? I mean, did Monken really unlock something? And I think I've said this before on your show. He's going to be 31 on opening day. The bulk of your offensive core players are going, you know, they're 26 or younger. The timelines don't add up. And so if you bring him back after for 27, you are saying he's your quarterback, quote unquote quarterback, going forward. And I just think I don't see how that's feasible or tenable, but they haven't invited me into those meetings yet. I'm hoping to get an invite at some point, but I doubt I'm going to.
I hope for at some point you do. You let me know if that happens. we're obviously talking quarterbacks, and it is, I feel like, until we get a starter named, a requirement almost for me to ask you. In your mind right now, who is, if there is one, the leader in your mind to be the starter for week one?
I think it's Deshaun. There's a part of me that wonders if Ty would like to name Shador the starter, that in the back of his mind he goes, the way you do this is just how I said. I mean, if it's too close to call, then you go with the young guy who you've got club control over for a couple of more years, so you at least answer the question, is this the guy going forward? Because he aligns with the rest of, as I said, your core. But, you know, I think if I think they've been waiting for Shador to sort of, and I thought you saw it toward the end of OTAs and minicamps. I thought Shador ended it, the offseason program, really strong. He was ending it on an upswing. Now he's got to go out there and carry that in the training camp and outplay Deshaun, because I don't think if he doesn't clearly outplay Deshaun, I think they're going to name Deshaun Watson the starter because of veteran and, you know, all those other things that, you know, you would argue for why you would start a Deshaun Watson, a player like Deshaun Watson over a player like Shedeur Sanders.
Chris Easterling with us here on the hotline. Continue, Chris.
But I was just going to say, but I don't, I am firmly in the camp of, considering they have said they want to see them in live action, I just think this is riding into, I think it's going to be around the same time that last year that Kevin named Joe the starter. I think it's going to be around the time it's going to be coming out of that Buffalo joint practice where you've at least had a couple of opportunities to see these guys against live competition.
All right, Chris, outside of the quarterback spot, what would you point to on this roster sort of as your biggest question mark? Because quarterback's obvious, but where else do you see that?
I mean, I think it's the place that we've all looked at, and I think it's offensive line. It's an intriguing group because it's a variety of pieces that we really haven't seen all together. You know, the last couple of years, while guys were in and out of the lineup, they were guys that you had at times seen a bulk of that offensive line play together. You know, you had seen Betonio, Postage, Teller together on the interior. You had seen a Jed Wills or a DeJuan Jones or a Jack Conklin at tackle. I mean, so you had sort of seen it. We haven't really seen these guys again when you in live action. There's some pieces that really look interesting, and there's some pieces like I'm going to have to see more, and I'm going to have to see a lot more to believe that they have, if nothing else, started to rebuild this offensive line, rebuild a younger offensive line, which is what they've needed to do the last couple of years. So that to me is besides the quarterback is the question I've got the most about, because it's one thing to see them in mini camp and OTAs. It's another thing to see them, you know, trying to block the Chicago Bears or the Buffalo Bills in the preseason, or even their own defensive line when, you know, you're actually wearing pads and going in its full go, which I fully expect this to be a very, very physical training camp. So we will get opportunities to see that relatively early once they get through the acclimation period.
I feel like the entire offense, I just feel like there's spots obviously with optimism. Like we've talked about the wide receivers this offseason, even the offensive line we just talked about, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that it's great. I don't know that it's bad either. Is there any spot inside of this offense where you can actually express confidence and not just optimism?
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You know where I might be the closest to confidence is I really think Quinshon Judkins is sitting on a big year. I think if you can give him some quality blocking and, you know, some good blocking. I'm not saying, you block like the 2023 Philadelphia Eagles or nothing, but if you can give him decent blocking And you can give him, you know, if you can throw the ball well enough that you take some of the pressure off, I really think Quinshon's going to be a really good running back in this offense. I think Monken has shown that his offense is he likes to have a guy he can hand the football to and run physical. And, boy, you know, we had questions about Quinshon coming off the injury from last year, but he looked strong when he ran the ball. He seemed to run with a burst. He really looked impressive when we saw him in OTAs and minicamp. So I'm fascinated. If there was something I had some semblance of confidence in, I think I would put it there, just because everything else, there's just this, there's just sort of a question mark that you have to acknowledge. And I don't think the question mark is quite, the questions are quite as severe for when it comes to Quinshon.
And again, Chris Easterling with us here on the hotline. ESPN a couple of days ago put out their rankings 1 through 32 of the rosters complete in the NFL, and the Browns fell at number 31. Does that feel right to you? Maybe a little bit harsh? What are your thoughts off of that?
I think it goes back to, I'll go back to what I just said about the offensive line, is that I think it's a little bit of the unknown, honestly. I just think that you've never seen this group together perform against another defense. There's just, you just don't know. So I think that's why I can understand why you put it there going into training camp, because it's just a bunch of random pieces right now. And, you know, until you see it as one cohesive unit, I mean, you're just guessing. And so it's just easier to put it down toward the bottom and leave yourself room to acknowledge you undervalued it going in and give it room to climb up through performance.
I wanted to ask you about Jared Verse, because Mike Rutenberg jumped on a podcast earlier this week as well, and he told this story about Verse, about, you know, he's happy to be here, and then a story of leadership as soon as he was in, talking about that's not the standard, calling out of his teammates. I mean, from watching this team in the short time period where Verse had come in and you guys got to view him, was the leadership already that outward and clear to you guys, or was it maybe something that, you know, you had to be on the field, one of the guys in the huddle, to actually see it?
You know, I thought you saw him interacting a lot with his teammates, which was a good sign. Now, part of that was his teammates helping getting him up to speed. You know, the first time we saw him was, it would have been his first time on the field, maybe. Which was that last week of OTAs. And then we saw him, I think it says something that he gets to Cleveland on that Tuesday, June 2nd. He's on the field June 3rd. And then he is, I mean, he's only doing individual work, really, though, during that OTAs. But by the next week in minicamp, he's very much involved. He's, you know, he's going through team drills. He's, and that speaks to, you know, a personal, you know, accountability that he holds himself to, that I'm getting myself up to speed. You know, it's not going to be because I'm behind, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to get myself up to speed. I'm going to do everything possible to get up to speed. And I think that would carry over. I think some of the things that Mike's talking about, I think would be something you'd more see if you're in the meeting rooms or the locker room or a little more close to the huddle, close to the players on a play-by-play basis. But, it's evident that he wants to be great. Everybody you talk to who's dealt with, who knows Jared, who's coached Jared in the past as he's come up from Albany to, you know, I had a chance to talk to Mike Norvell about him, you know, when he got to Florida State, and the thing he says is he's going to exhaust everything he can to be as great as he can be, which is all you can ask for a guy who you're asking him kind of the impossible out of. Although I don't think they are. I think externally we're asking the impossible of being the quote-unquote Myles Garrett replacement. But I think internally they're looking at like, look, he's not Myles Garrett. We understand he's not Myles Garrett. He's Jared Verse. And we're going to do things that play to his strengths, that allow him to thrive and be as successful as he can possibly be, understanding that what he does, what makes him great and what makes Myles great are two completely different things.
And again, Chris Easterling with us. Chris, NFL coaches, exec scouts, slowly coming out with their top 10. They get asked about it. They come out with their top 10 players at each position. Three Browns already appearing on the list after three position groups. I want to know which one's the biggest surprise to you. Quinshon Judkins got an honorable mention just outside the top 10. Same conversation with Jared Verse at edge, or Denzel Ward ranked as the number 7 corner?
I don't know if that's necessarily a surprise. I think it's impressive that Quinshon already is sort of getting, it kind of goes back to when you asked me the thing I feel most comfortable about the offense. It's that, look, he basically played, 13 and a half games, maybe, a year ago. And at the time he got the injury, he was the leading rookie rusher in the NFL. And, that was without a training camp, without playing in the opener, without really a very good offensive line in front of him, without any sort of passing game for the better part of the season. So I think maybe that was a little bit of a surprise that, that's I think the league saying that we see the talent this kid has and what this kid, if you put him in the right system, and you give him the right help that any running back really needs to be successful, this kid could be a star. And that, I guess that would be the thing, because Denzel being 7, I mean, I get it. He's getting a little older, but and there's a lot of really good young corners in the league. And, Jared is just, he's just 2 years into his career. And, they've been two very good seasons so far. But, if you want to be fair and you look at the sack totals, they're not what you would expect for an elite edge rusher. But, I think that could come, that comes with time, because the pressure numbers are very, very good. So, I think if I had to, getting it back, I think the Quinshon one was a pleasant surprise. I mean, let's put it like that. I think it's a pleasant surprise because I think it speaks to the talent they have at this position, and if it can come together, what you could have with him running the football.
All right, Chris, we got to run. I always appreciate you setting aside the time. You gave us a lot to talk about, a lot to think about, and hopefully as the Browns get ready to get back into action here soon, we'll be talking again sometime soon.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Chris Easterling.
Thank you.
Yep, Akron Beacon Journal with us there on the Wisehart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. We're going to react to what he had to say, and coming up here in 5 minutes, everybody tried to take a victory lap, or at least a lot of people did, on the $88 million cap relief that you're getting for Deshaun. What about the fact that it's not $88 million anymore? You still feel good? Again, that's coming your way in 5, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.